Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in on a Tuesday afternoon. Glad to have you on board. We have a big show on tap for you. Let's get started right now. Your phone calls in just a moment. Some headlines first on this Tuesday afternoon. How about this? Did you see this one coming, Randy? Another top 25 poll. Does Notre Dame deserve to be in the top five? Does Notre Dame deserve to be included? This is Ari Wasserman. He'll be with us later. Pretty smart guy, so we won't laugh yet. I don't know about Ohio State over Georgia, Oregon over Texas, Notre Dame over Ole Miss, Alabama, Missouri, Michigan, and Miami? Is that tense in the ACC? Come on, Ari, what are you drinking? We'll talk to him later on, after we've been drinking. Well, they're drinking some Kool-Aid in Oxford. Feels like I've been drinking more than Kool-Aid. Where does Ole Miss sit in the post-spring national title odds? These are the favorites to win, according to ESPN Bet. Georgia, the favorite. Ohio State, Texas, Oregon. Not that far from Ari, but I don't see Notre Dame anywhere, do you? Bama's in there, of course. LSU, Ole Miss, and Michigan. I think Georgia will be the number one team going in, although I'm not trying to set off any alarm bells in Athens, Georgia, but I'm possibly going to pick Ohio State to win it all. What do you think, Randy?
Yeah.
They exceeded the salary cap when they brought in that transfer portal class. Anyway, enough of that.
Yep.
We will get right to it. How about this headline? Who can pass Kirby Smart? How about nobody?
Nobody.
Ryan Day, DeBoer. Those are some of the contenders. Shahan Jayaraja joining us. Always great to have Shahan on. Thank you for the time, Shahan. This seems like we used to write this story and talk about it with Nick Saban, and then we would beat our head against the wall trying to find somebody to supplant him. That didn't work out very well. So good afternoon. What about Kirby Smart? Who's the leading contender, assuming there really is one?
Yeah, well, and just to circle back on that, you know, I think that's kind of the conceit of the piece, right, is that Nick Saban had such a stranglehold over college football for really the last 15 years, and now is the Kirby era. And so it's going to be fascinating to see. We haven't seen a run of dominance quite like Nick Saban, really, since Bear Bryant before that. And, you know, so certainly there's a chance that this is just for the next 20 years, Kirby Smart Sports, but I don't know necessarily that it's as guaranteed maybe as we think it is. So some of the people that I mentioned, you mentioned a few off the top. I think that when you look at a coach like Steve Sarkisian and being at Texas and being in the situation that he's in and the roster that he's built and the alignment that he has, I think that last year was as impressive a year in college football as anybody. And you look at what they bring back this year, you look at the way that they're recruiting, you look at the way that they're able to add transfers. The only program that I can really compare it to is Georgia, the way that they're able to be so targeted in their player acquisition. So I think that he's one who certainly will get on the list. And if you win a national title at Texas, I think that gets you in the conversation. You mentioned Ryan Day, and this I know was a controversial one, but here's kind of the case for that, is that for so many years, this was Kirby Smart, right? It was him who was coming short against his rival, who couldn't quite get over the hump, get over the top. Even though we saw, you know, the player acquisition, the development, the guys they were putting in the NFL, the scheme, it kind of just took that moment for him to get over the top. Will that be this year? You mentioned, you know, off the top that Ohio State might be your pick to win the national championship. If he does win a national championship, does that monkey get off his back? Does he go on a run And I do think that you have to mention Kalen DeBoer in these conversations, taking Washington to the national title game, now joining the greatest program in college football history. So, I mean, the pace for a guy to get there, it's difficult. I mean, to be the number one coach and kind of supplant somebody like Kirby Smart, who's had the run that he's had, will take not just a good year, but sustained success. But I'll be fascinated to see if anybody can do it.
Sean, why do I have so little faith in Ryan Day to do what needs to be done? We know he can recruit. He's had success on the field, but he just seems to be missing, does he not? That missing DNA molecule that will get him over the finish line.
Well, I think that when you talk about Ryan Day, it's in the context of what he's built and where he is. And Ohio State is up there with the best jobs and best programs in college football. And when he took over that job, they had been dominating Michigan for the better part of 20 years. And all of a sudden, three straight losses. He's 1-6 against top five opponents, which is obviously is nowhere near good enough. And that's, I think, the piece. When he's gone against teams that are as talented or more talented than his teams, it hasn't gone the way that really it should for a coach of that stature. But again, I think that when you talk about winning those top 3 to 5 level games, when you talk about playing Michigan, I mean, he was a field goal away from beating Kirby Smart just a couple years ago and maybe winning the national championship himself. I think that the line between success and failure at this level is so tight that maybe if he's finally able to get over that line, things start kind of snowballing the other direction. But there's also a chance that he loses 4 in a row to Michigan this fall and he might be out of a job that year then.
Yeah, I think it's that easy. Shahan, you mentioned Sarkisian, of course, newcomer to the SEC and DeBoer, and probably nobody has more goodwill baked into the cake today than Kalen DeBoer. But beyond those two trying to supplant Kirby Smart, who's next? It used to be Jimbo, no longer. It used to be other people, no longer. Who in the SEC legitimately, and I don't mean just throwing a name up against the wall, but is it Lane Kiffin? Is it Brian Kelly? Is it someone else?
That's a great question. And I think that if you were to make a list right now of the best coaches in college football, which is something we'll do in the coming weeks at CBS Sports, those guys would probably be among the highest on the list. I went a little more off board when I decided to kind of look at some guys who I think long-term have a chance to grow into something special. I mean, I think that if you talk about SEC coaches, I'll be fascinated to see what Mike Elko is able to do at Texas A&M. He's a non-traditional type of SEC coach. Obviously, he coached as a defensive coordinator at Texas A&M before getting that head job, but he's more of a traditional ball coach. He's a little bit less of a CEO type than we've seen in the SEC the past couple of years, but what even
I think that's where it all ended right there. Good conversation with Shahan, but for whatever reason, we seem to lose the connection. We're going to pause here for a second. This isn't Netflix. This is live television here, so we are going to try and reconnect. And while we try to do that, which the odds are not great, Andy Staples will join us a little bit later on. We mentioned the Ari Wasserman poll, and then did you realize the SEC softball tournament begins tonight? And we'll have a preview right before the first game with Haley and Tori. I don't think we've connected, so why don't we do this? We'll just take a short. Okay. Shahan, back for your answer, which we did not completely hear.
Yes, so I think that if you're looking at the SEC, one coach I'm going to be keeping a close eye on is Mike Elko at Texas A&M. He, of course, is a little bit of a less traditional coach than some of these guys who have come in, more of a ball coach than maybe the CEO style that's become popular. But you look at his results at Duke, obviously, putting together two fantastic seasons. And then from a player acquisition perspective, it's all come together in his first offseason at Texas A&M. They have a chance, I think, to be pretty special this fall. And similar deal, if you manage to take Texas A&M close to that mountaintop, I think that gets you in the conversation. Somebody who I think will very soon be an SEC head coach down the road is John Sumrall, who now is the head coach at Tulane. He was Kentucky's linebackers coach, and I think that if Mark Stoops had left that job for Texas A&M, he would have had a great chance to be that coach. The last 2 years at Troy, he put together the best team in the Sun Belt each of the past 2 years after some pretty miserable down years over there. And I think that he just might have the DNA down the road when he does get an SEC job to potentially get into that conversation as well.
Great stuff from Shahan. We really appreciate you joining us. Thank you very, very much for the time. We have a long way to go here on a Tuesday afternoon. Your phone calls are right around the corner. We will get to them, a number of other guests as well, as we continue right now.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back in as we roll on. Let's grab some calls here, and Braxton starts it off from Knoxville. Hey, Braxton.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great, buddy.
So I just want to talk about two things here. Number one, Josh Heupel, when he came in 2021, I thought Tennessee was a wreck already because of Jeremy Pruitt and those scandals. We were just a wreck then. I was not expecting Josh Heupel to do as well as he did in the first year, and he has really driven this Tennessee program into something it hasn't been in quite a long time. And then also, I was also going to say, Ryan Day in Ohio State, I think they should be pretty high this year. I don't know if they're going to win the national championship. I don't think Georgia's that same star power. And I don't know why. Fight me on this if you want. Ole Miss does not deserve to be that high. I don't know. I just don't have a feeling they're going to be that good. They don't have everything they need. And Lane Kiffin is not the championship-winning type of coach. A lot of people think he is.
Why do you say that? Are you saying that based on his overall record or what he has coming back?
Overall record, you just look at a lot of his coaching jobs. Even he's had a few good years, but it's not like he's had more good years than bad. That's not like the case for every single coach. But let's just say everybody thinks he's this really great coach. Let me say it like this. I think he is not coach national championship material. They can't get it done. And I'm sorry, they can't. But I think Ohio State's going to go far in this, and go Vols, baby.
Well, thank you very much. Continuing here at the Dairy Queen, let's have another 13-year-old. Dominic is up next.
What's up, Paul? How are you doing?
Okay.
So I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and guess who I ate lunch with today in the clubhouse?
Who's that?
Your buddy, Dickie Price. You know him, Paul?
I know Dickie. I sure do. He's grew up in Tuscaloosa, won a couple of tournaments on the regular tour, and is now on the Champions Tour.
Oh, yeah. And he told me to tell you that I definitely bring up the IQ for you because you're a Tennessee alumni.
Wow, way to go, Dickie. Guy that won one tournament in his career. He's throwing smack down. Way to go.
Yeah. And as of right now, Paul, after I talked to Dickie, he's my favorite to win the Regions Golf Tournament. Who do you have winning the Regions Golf Tournament?
I think I'll wait till I get on the scene there so I can maybe have a better view of the field.
Sounds good.
By the way, other than the fact that you met him today, is there anything? Do you know much about Dickie Pride?
I mean, I did a little bit of research on him. Saw that he went to Alabama. I was reading about a couple of the tournaments he was in. He's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. Well, I met him a long time ago. He won one tournament in his career, and maybe he'll win another one thanks to meeting you.
Yeah.
He won one tournament on the regular tour. I think he's won one tournament on the Champions Tour. Are you caddying for him tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I am, Paul.
Well, that's great, Dominic.
Bringing all his clubs.
Dominic just walks into the clubhouse and sits down and starts talking smack with one of the golfers.
Well, Paul.
Bash is up next. Hey, Bash.
Bash, brother Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My voice is a little shot from last night after
witnessing
that.
Yeah, things aren't exactly going well there in the playoffs, are they, Bash?
At this moment, it is very glim and dim.
In case
but
you
it is not
wondered,
completely darkened.
Bash's team is down. They're down 0-2 in the playoffs so far, Randy.
Well, at least my team's in the playoffs, Randy. Now, Paul,
guitarist from Wake Forest getting some shade.
Hey, there's actually a backstory to that nickname, and I wanted to run it by the show because, I was on hold waiting last Monday listening to Ryan. He had called Randy the guitarist. So I think in my head, oh, he's a guitarist from Wake Forest. Hey, that rhymes. So I go on the internet to see, does anybody else have the name the guitarist from Wake Forest? And I kid you not, Paul, there is this website that is literally called thebash.com.
Wow.
And it literally has this individual from Winston-Salem who is, I think his name is Bryce Hudley, something like that. And he's apparently known as the acoustic guitarist from Wake Forest. I'm like,
Randy, are you remotely interested in this story?
I don't know. It was kind of a lame story, but I just thought because the website was
have you ever written anything professionally or even in class?
That is an interesting question for you to ask, Paul. And yes, I appreciate you asking that question.
When you've written something, do you ever go back and read it and maybe cut out some of the lame stuff and the unnecessary stuff and the redundant parts? Is that anything you've ever noticed while you were writing?
Absolutely. I mean, in my early days, I definitely was a rambler and just kind of put as much words into
a page as I could. Have you ever gone back and listened to one of your calls, Bash?
All the time, Paul.
Okay.
I try to not make it so all about me, but today I'm definitely failing at that. I wanted to call in before you mentioned the guitarist from Wake Forest and mentioned yesterday what an awesome call you had from Mark from Huntsville. I called in earlier and I was just trying to get you, Paul, to convince me, being an Alabama fan who's also a Denver Broncos fan, you know, Bo Nix is good. And then last night I'm thinking, woe is me after that terrible playoff game loss. And then I listened to the show and I listened to Mark's call and it was just, beautiful, and I just thought, like, man, if I'm really just depressed over the score over a sports game, it's really a 1 on a scale of 10 of sadness. And you, Paul, are a great person, and you gave that man time to get his call in and express himself. And it's just another thing that makes me in love with this show and why I will always have admiration for you and everyone that's involved in the show. And always I get to, like, call into the show and be a part of it, and I'm always thankful for that. And I think everyone who's a part of the show and listens to the show can also, even including Mark, can be thankful for one thing. Do you know what that is, Paul?
What's that?
Thank God we're not Jim, because who would want to be him?
Bash, thank you. Appreciate the call. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, Bash. Hey, Paul, Bob. You should have told Bash about to get swept. That was Bash should have said. Bash, y'all about to get swept in Denver. Y'all garbage. Y'all is garbage. Hey, them boys, hey, I don't know what to say about Denver, but they about to get their butt whooped. What do you say, Paul? What do you say?
I'm still so choked up about Bash's call. I'm afraid I'm not paying much attention.
They ain't paying no attention to Bash for the crap. You know Bash for the crap. He ain't want to talk nothing about no Denver Nuggets. He should have said about Denver Nuggets, how they about to get swept. You know what I'm saying? But Paul, find about another thing about you, buddy. I hate when y'all hang up on me like that when I call, you know?
Here's the deal, Dwayne. We don't intentionally hang up on you. We only hang up when you go over a line that we cannot talk. This is a family show, Dwayne.
This is not
5 o'clock at the bar on the rig, okay?
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. You know what I'm saying? So, but what been happening, Paul Feinbaum? How I came out in the tournament? You ain't told me nothing about the tournament I was in. Who beat me? Legend? Who beat me?
Legend won overall.
Oh, man, that man won about 3 years straight, man. I think y'all communists over there. Yeah, y'all communists over there. Y'all picking the same people all the time. Especially you, Paul Feinbaum.
Have a fair election. By the way, he did not win last year.
Ain't no fair election. It rigged.
It's rigged.
Yeah, it is. No, everything rigged over there. Everything rigged over there. Don't tell me that.
Cat Daddy won
it's
last
rigged.
Year. Cat Daddy, Legend Oop. Has not won 3 in a row. He's won only 1 straight.
It's rigged. I don't care.
Okay.
It's rigged anyway.
If it was rigged, we wouldn't even let you in it.
Yeah, but you got to put somebody in it. It's rigged in. Yeah, I'm Paul. So, hey, Paul, what you think about the LSU Tigers baseball team? What you think? They going to make it in and out? What you say?
Probably not.
Huh?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be in the SEC tournament, aren't they?
Yeah, what about the NCAA?
Oh, well, if they can, that series was a big one. So if they can win another series or two, I would say they'll get in. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and Jim is up next.
Maybe you are getting to be a great man, Paul. I'm a straight shooter, and I'm telling you, I mean, of course, you got this Bash ass By the way, Bash, you couldn't be me. There's no way you could be me because you got nothing in you that's equivalent to anything like me or about me. No athletic ability, a big mouth. You're just a jerk. But and you're a horrible caller. I didn't mean to get negative, but I had to, Paul, when it came to my mind what that scumbag said a while ago. And you got a ton of scumbags, Legion and a bunch of them, but that's all right. I'm not trying to be negative, but I can't help but get negative sometimes. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You impressed me yesterday with the way you handled talking about me and said you believe what I, you know, about me and you don't need proof. Of course, you know there's people that have told you. But I appreciate that. I really do. I sincerely. And by the way, all the times I've called, I'm going to say once and for all, thanks for taking my call, Paul. Sometimes I wonder if it was wise for me to call, and I think you know what I mean, but I do appreciate you. I think you are. I'll tell you something that comes to my mind. You are one of legitimately, originally, God's people. You're a Jewish Israelite, and that's God's people. And you know what he said about them, your people, God, the Israelis, the Jewish people. He said he would bless you, and he's blessed you, Paul. I mean, he has really blessed you. And he told that to Abraham, and that was, what do you call Abraham as a Jewish person? He's not your father, but what do you call him?
Well, I mean, in many ways, he is the father of, I mean, it's a loose description, but it's accurate.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I mean, he's not, maybe you are, obviously you are in his lineage in that way. I mean, that in the Bible, it talks about 14 generations of Jewish people until Abraham or until, I don't know, somebody, I can't remember who, but I know it's all connected. God has got a tremendous, he's absolutely in the detail. And I think that's something he passed on to me because I'm a detail guy. You well know that. You are too. So anyway, I just, maybe this is a goofy call. I just felt led in my heart to say what I said, and I appreciate what you've done for me. And I just really, I hope you, well, anyway, you're awake, but some of your calls are rotten and lousy and lying, and you know what I mean. And I guarantee you Squirrel and Legion are lying scumbags. But anyway, I know you like them because they help the show, but I help the show more, and you know that.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Sarah.
Well, hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. How's everything with you?
Everything is good, except I'm a little heartbroken when I heard yesterday the news around 12:30 about Hootie Ingram passing. And I just wanted to share with you and your callers what a great man he was. You know, when he came to work at the university as athletic director, I didn't know him, and I was about 36 years old at the time, and I went into his office. We received our championship rings on a Saturday afternoon at the football game for the 1991 championship, and I went into his office on Monday, and I said I needed to have a conversation with him, and I told him that I was pregnant and expecting a baby, but that my doctor had told me I had to go on bed rest from 4 to 5 months and I couldn't do anything, nothing. And, you know, back in the day, I was a little nervous. I hadn't been around Hootie a long time. And I just said, I have this sick leave. I have these vacation days. And I mean, Paul, he stopped me. He basically yelled at me. He goes, stop. He goes, Sarah, you just take care of that baby. And the man didn't care that I couldn't do my job for possibly 5 months. He didn't care that it was just going to be my husband and one, you know, other part-time assistant. He didn't care. It was like the most important thing to him was the health of me and my unborn baby. And I can tell you now that without him, if I had felt like I would lose my job if I didn't go back to work, I wouldn't have my daughter. And over the years, as she graduated, she played on the softball team, she won a championship, she went to law school. I would send Hootie a note with a picture of her and thank him, because if it weren't for all he did for me, I would not have had that baby girl. And I just, you know, 32 years ago, that was not in, you know, the norm for men athletic directors at the time to, you know, be concerned. And he was just a great man. And he stayed here in Tuscaloosa. He loved Tuscaloosa. I went over to see him twice at Capstone Village. Both times he was out driving around. I got to see his wife with my grandson. But, you know, and I said last Thursday to my husband before we left to go out of town, I said, you know, next week I need to go by and see Hootie. At the time, I did not know that he had gone to the hospital in Birmingham from a fall. And it broke my heart when I found out yesterday that he had passed. Just because, you know, some people give you something. Well, he gave me the blessing of being able to have my daughter. I mean, I was on bed rest for 4.5 months, but I still had her a month early. And you know what? That little 5-pound baby came out and she did great. But without him, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And I think he's such a good man, and people need to know that there's more than being an athletic director and the things that he did.
Sarah, that is truly a remarkable story. I deeply appreciate it. I feel like I've known you for all these years. I never knew that, and that is remarkable. So thank you for sharing that, and you be well.
Thank you. You too. Take care, and thanks, my Sarah. Prayers for Cecil and Marilyn and their family.
Wonderful to hear from you, Sarah. We mentioned the passing of Hootie Ingram yesterday, who was the athletic director at Alabama. Prior to that, he was the athletic director at Florida State. Squirrel is up next. Hello, Squirrel.
What a beautiful story by Sarah right there. That I really enjoyed that. Excuse that noise. I'm on the road. And for the record, I was on hold when Jim called in, so I'm not trying to coattail your call there, Leg Humper. But a couple of things I kind of feel bad about in a way. Joey's call yesterday, I mean, that man sounds like a man whose wings have been completely clipped. And he's not the same Joey that was calling in a couple of weeks ago. I somehow feel partially responsible. I feel like you share some of that responsibility also, Paul.
I do feel that way. And by the way, I don't know about you, Squirrel, but I have no regrets.
I'm not regret. I didn't say I was sorry. I said I kind of feel bad in a way. And but some people come on here and they give too much information, in my opinion. Anyway, I enjoy that they do. But he was the one who came on and talked about the 7 dogs and the 5 cats and the chickens and the birds and ducks and things of that nature, and then that just naturally leads to other questions, and then other people got involved, and then he brought other information we didn't need to know about how they met up, and then one thing led to another, and that dude's in hot water.
Yeah, they met at a bar. Well,
like you said, they didn't even slow dance in the parking lot, man. They just went straight to business, it sounds like. So who knows what happened there.
Basically, he said to her, you know, can I buy you a drink, and she said, screw the drink. Let's get out of here.
I've got a drink in the car. I got a drink in the pickup truck. Let's go.
I got a drink in my hand.
And another thing, and just like Mr. Magoo mentioned a few minutes ago during his call, what a great athlete he is. I don't know why an 80-year-old man feels the need to mention that every single phone call that he ever makes to a call-in show, but that's kind of why I pestered him like I do. But yesterday, when he was pressed for facts and he brought up Little League statistics and then he whipped out the Pony League data, and I didn't even know what the hell Pony League was. I had to do some research. It was a league that was started for 13 and 14-year-olds in 1952. And when he brought up that data, that's the white flag as far as I'm concerned. Jim, I'm not going to mock you anymore. You've mocked yourself enough in that category. thanks for taking my call. Always enjoy the show. Aloha.
And we head to the break. Been a busy one so far. We'll take this time out. Guests including Andy Staples in the next hour. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It begins later tonight, the SEC softball tournament live from Auburn right after we go off the air. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, great show so far, and I like DeBoer and Elko. I think they're going to be great hires. Your first guest mentioned that, and great call so far, but I'd like to offer a suggestion for the show, Paul. Not that your show needs any more entertainment than what we heard yesterday. A legend second call to keep this name and got out of your mouth was classic. And the best segment, though, was the what we call it, the Love Fest, when Jamagi came out of the closet and Augie was gushing like a little teenage girl. I thought that was excellent. And then it only got better when the other member of the Axis of the Misery group, what's his name, the curmudgeon, came on to more or less complete the love triangle and give them roses. But here's my suggestion, Paul. I love all the callers, and maybe let's utilize some of the show's well-known caller personalities and voices for each hour segment introductions and closings. Maybe start with the top caller, Jim, who at the end of a commercial break or the beginning of the commercial break can say, "Don't change the dial, you're a fool and mourn if you do, and God will punish you." Or say I meant saying, "Stay tuned and the little fellow will be right back." Or John from St. Louis, well, forget John, AJ does a better John. But your intros could be from iconic voices like Squirrel, Bubba, Senator Hugh from Deep Voice Gap, or Roll Tide Roll, It's On With the Show from Handsome Joe or Cat Daddy. But you've got so many great voices and personalities, we should incorporate them into the show. Should we start auditions this week?
You know, John, it's a good. I'll let the folks in the back room think about that. Thanks for the call. Chris is in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul, I got a suggestion for John. How about he do his call behind a horse and somebody shoot skeet? Because it still would be boring, Carl. Paul, I tell you, man, that man got all these suggestions, man. I got a suggestion for your call. Limited to 10 seconds, John. But, Paul, back to you, Paul, because I just don't understand, Paul, how you going to sit there with Squirrel on the phone and giggle like a little schoolgirl. You're very sharp. You must don't like greatness. You like repetitive. Because that man makes the same call day after day after day. I come in here, I'm a Clemson fan. Do
Chris,
I talk about Clemson every day?
I beg to differ. Squirrel is very clever. He's innovative. He's got a panache. He just doesn't sound like a wind-up doll.
Yeah, but guess what? You have one out. Squirrel's a coward, too. He's the Ike clan of the Tombstones. That man always want to pick on Jim. Every time somebody else come to him, he block him on Twitter. Every time somebody bring the smoke to him, he block him on Twitter. All he's doing is pulling Legend down. Legend is my man, too. But I'm trying to tell you, he protected that coward. That's going to drag his Legend down. But I'm going to get on about it. I'm going to let that go, Paul, because today is a good day. My fiance, man, she's about to walk across the stage, man, to be a nurse. She had a penance ceremony to last weekend.
That's fantastic. And, when are you guys getting married?
Man, pretty soon, Paul. Pretty soon.
Didn't mean to ask you a curveball there.
No. No care about man. Man, that's my soulmate. We always planned it after she got out of school.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not gonna marry for the money. I'm a plant manager, Paul. So I don't need the money. So it's okay. All about love.
I like that.
So I'm gonna tell you like this though, and I'm gonna get off this call because I gotta go get ready for graduation, like I said. But Paul, just do me a favor, man. Tell Squirrel to stand on his own 2 feet. And I'm going to get on 85. I'm heading towards Florida, but I'm going to make a detour because I just want to ride through Alabama, Tuscaloosa. And you tell Todd to bring all that hot air in his chest, or you can tell Legend to bring that steel chair. And AJ, my friend, you had them fish skin, and we're going to do a fish fry. But, Paul, you have a great day. If y'all need my information, you know where to find me at, Twitter, after hours. Y'all have a nice day.
Tasha is up next. Hey, Tasha.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I was on the phone last week, and I got cut off just a little bit about talking about basketball. But I'm going to change the subject just a little bit.
Okay.
Now, what do you think about the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I thought, like a lot of people, it was probably the best one I've ever seen.
It was a photo finish.
Yeah, it was a three-horse photo finish. I don't think that's happened in
it
about
was.
60 years.
It was like, oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, hold on. Let me sit back down.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.